Everybody, and welcome to a Moo episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your old pal, the Moo Cow, aka Paulie Presenza, and I'm joined by
Jonathan A. Moody, your co-host.
Yay! And together, we are both joined by
Jess Jen,
who's shaking her head at us. I don't know why.
Oh, I think she
knows. Giving
into
the cow thing.
Well, yeah, I love the cow thing. I think it's fun.
And together, we are here to watch a movie. And as I mentioned before, this is a stinky, notoriously bad film that has been on my list that every time I see it, I'm like, no. It's we got to get it off my plate. We have to. We have to just pull that Band-Aid and it's...
You keep saying have to. I don't know that we have
actually,
to.
I think we do because I think I know what it is. So when he announces it, I'm going to say if that was
any serious stinky movie hound is going to be expecting this film on their list. And, you know, I'm interested in survival psychology. You know, those people who like survive tragedies and huge problems and then they bond, they form a brotherhood.
Like, I'm not.
Like those World War I veterans that have their legs and arms blown off and got mustard gassed, and then they all sit together in a group.
In the trench?
Later years, and they're like, oh, you remember when that mustard gas bomb came and fell? And they're all like, yeah, but we survived, and we're all stronger for it.
This is not making me feel good or better.
I know. The way you're describing it does not make anybody want to watch whatever you're going to watch. But
I'm not going to lie. It's a roughie. We're going to be going back in the Wayback Machine all the way back to 2001 for the movie Hip Hop Locos.
Oh, so it isn't the movie I was thinking it was.
Do you know Hip Hop Locos?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, there's a reason. The only people who've heard of it know why it's out there. It's notoriously bad.
Oh, goody.
That's all I know. But I thought you were going to do something else. I'll tell you what I thought.
Think about it this way. Any other future movies with you are going to be better. They pretty much have to be.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty bad ones here.
Miss Werewolf.
Yeah, Miss Werewolf is one of them.
Miss Werewolf has moments of fun.
if that's what you want to call it, but
anyway, we will be back after some mood music. Okay, Holmes, we are back, and I am just dying to hear what you two have to say about this scholarly, erudite, sophisticated movie known as Hip Hop Locos. Which one of you would like to chime in first?
I think we watched a different movie, if that's your description of it.
Well, did you use a big word there, erudite?
Erudite, that's right. These two gentlemen, clearly with the vocabulary of Rhodes scholars, had quite a lot of in-depth things to say with very, very large, flowery words and phrases. And they were simply poets. Wouldn't you agree?
You can't see Jen's face, but I think she's very confused.
I think there's a reason we're not doing this in person, because I think I would have had to smack you halfway through that.
I think you might need more than a cup of eggnog there. You might need a barrel.
Anyway, well, we have to explain this. We are doing it. We were doing it in person. Now we're not doing it in person.
Just Jan ran away. She couldn't take it anymore. She's like, that's it, Holmes. I'm out of here.
She didn't, but she did.
And shit.
She had to go. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, I think she really wanted to go.
I wasn't upset about it.
Yeah. She wasn't like, oh man, I'm gonna miss the last
movie that drove Just Jen away.
Well, I don't feel like I've missed any of it.
Yeah,
it was.
I don't think you did either. Like literally, the ending was just like everything else you just saw.
Right.
There was nothing much going on.
So what is it that happens in this movie known as Hip Hop Locos?
Well, I'll start because I know Jen doesn't want to go through this anyway. and I actually watched the whole thing, so I can maybe describe what happened. So the beginning, by the way, so the beginning starts with these two guys just talking to the camera, the two main guys, and they are both wannabe rappers, I guess, white rappers who are trying to be Hispanic.
I think they are Hispanic.
Are they?
Yeah, they seem pretty pale and pretty white, but I believe they are, because if you look at them, it's, you know, Lorenzo Munoz Jr. And
No, that's the director. That's neither of those guys.
He's the guy. He plays Uno Dos. That's really him. Yes.
So he has two names.
Yes. He's Uno Dos. That's like his performance name or whatever.
Is his other performance name Uno Dos Tres?
Yeah, that's him. And the other guy is the other, I forget his name, but yeah.
It's a bunch of numbers instead of a name. But anyway, those two guys are, you know, talking to the camera and they are going on about whatever. And then Paul leans over to me during it and goes, "That's the whole movie." And I go, "What?" I literally thought that the whole movie was going to be two guys talking to the camera, just saying.
It pretty much is.
Yeah, I was going to say, what I saw was
75% of the movie.
Right. But there was some stuff. So at least it did take, you know, go out of that and go somewhere else.
A scene did change several times. Yes.
Yes. But then they started still just talking to the camera. You know, what are you saying, Jen?
Would we say several? Yeah. Also, scene change several times. I'm like, I don't know if we've gone to several.
There was a few, but not, yeah, maybe not several.
There were a couple of car scenes.
Yeah, a couple car scenes. There was a carjack scene. Mm. There was a scene where they went into apartments, a couple different apartments.
I remember a scene when they knocked on the door and no one answered it and they went back to their car.
Yes, they were very frustrated because nobody answered.
And then they went back, I think, later. And
we knew they could prove that nobody answered because we watched the entire scene unfold where no one answered.
So for an hour and 11 minute movie, it felt like 2.5 hour long flick.
Right.
It felt like Mrs. Werewolf. You know, just, you know, with two guys that all they say pretty much the whole time are Holmes, essay, and shit, motherfucker, and I think that's about it. You know, they occasionally if they put all of them in there, you got bingo. You got Hip Hop Loco bingo, you know.
Pretty much. Well, I guess the idea behind the film is, yeah, they're these hip hop wannabes who are trying to establish their street credit. And the way they've decided to do this, besides just acting like a bunch of, you know, ghetto street trash, is to buy drugs, various kinds of drugs from various drug dealers, but then rip them off and kill them. So first they do that to a cocaine guy. Then they do it to a pot guy. Then they do it to some other drug guy.
At one point, they just go into the people's house and kill them. Yeah. Like, there's no...
That's pretty much it. That's the movie.
Uh-huh.
And the movie ends with just another one of those. And then a couple of times, they, like, rap about what we just saw them do. Or they would, you know, in between the actual acts, they would talk, like, 15 minutes worth of what they're going to do. Then they would do it, and then they would talk for another 15 minutes about what they just did. And then it would be another 15 minutes about what they're going to do. They would do it, and then they go back and talk about 15 minutes what they just did, and so on and so forth. And that's it.
I love how, Paul, you said in the beginning, before we watched the movie, that we had to do this movie. It was time to do this movie.
To make it go away.
I don't think we ever had to do Hip Hop Locos, you know, but... I guess if we want to be a stinky movie podcast,
damn straight, that
shows off, you know, the worst of the worst, you know, and this isn't even the best of the worst. Like, this isn't even some, this is something that you just destroy after
seeing. I mean, I go down my list, the one that I have written, and I have, it's a bigger list than that, but, and every time I pass it on by pretty close to the top, and I'm, and it's like, ooh, pick me. And I'm like, no. And I skip on by, and I've been doing that for 6 seasons. And finally, I'm like, okay, God damn it. We're going to get rid of it. We're getting it off the list. We're making this go away. Finally, we're getting it done. We're doing it. It is done. Pulling off the Band-Aid. It is a fate accomplished.
It's okay. No one's complaining.
The best thing about this, Jen, you never have to see this movie ever again.
Unless you're trying to torment me, Paul. You're like, I'm going to show it to Gary. Do you want to come? No. I don't have. Oh, I want to show this person. You should come when I do. I show it to this person. No.
Well, again, it's not a movie you sit and actually watch. You're not going to watch it. You're going to watch everybody else watch it and see their reactions. That's what you watch it for.
But I don't have that same love of that you do. I don't think Jen has that at all. You know,
I wouldn't call it love, just as curiosity, scientific curiosity.
No, it's love. You love tormenting people. You've even said you're a troll. Like, you don't mind it, you know, and it's fun for you, but not us.
All right, but you've been yapping long enough. I want to hear what Jen has to say, because I'm sure deep down she loved this film, that it inspired her street cred, and she was all MCing and homes in and just being all kinds of whack, right? Right? Isn't that right, Jen?
This was absolutely horrid. This is so incredibly boring. I wouldn't even know that there was a plot if you hadn't told me, because every time they talked, I tuned it out. I couldn't understand half of what they were saying. The wannabe artistic way it was filmed was unappealing. I tuned it out. I mean, if y'all hadn't been in there, I would have been playing on my phone.
Well, you would have, I mean, if we were there, you would have watched this movie.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Turn this off. Like, I mean, I don't even think this could be MST3K'd.
No, you can't find any jokes, because it's just their faces, part of their faces, and then apparently a couple scenes, and that's it.
So you're saying this is not on the same level as Scarface?
So I've never seen Scarface, and it's so horrible.
But it's got that sort of approach to it, you know, the sort of anti-hero sort of, you know, this is how they start, and, you know, they're establishing their credibility, you know, except instead of being the biggest drug dealer and around, they're trying to be hip hop stars, even though that doesn't really factor into exactly what happens. It's, they just become a bunch of petty criminals is really what happens. I don't quite understand that.
Well, it's not like they tell people they're doing it, so nobody ever knows.
Yeah,
they're the ones.
Weird and kind of depressing connection that in order to become a successful rap group in the urban community, you have to run around and kill people and rep off drug dealers and do this kind of, really? Is that how it is? I mean, sure, there's violence in the rap world, but, and people get shot, but that doesn't mean that's exactly how you successfully become that. There are plenty of people who don't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it seems kind of cynical, if you ask me. Either that, or these people had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, I think that's more accurate.
Well, yeah. Also, I mean, they're, Uno Dos is a real rapper, you know?
Ish.
I mean, he's done raps that have been online, you know, like he exists as a rapper in real life, you know, and so I don't know what this movie was supposed to be.
A launching pad, because, you know, these guys, you know, Lorenzo Munoz Jr. did 4 movies, and this is the 4th one. So in other words, this was like the summation of all of their talent and experience and creativity, and it just, that's it. This is the last we've seen of them. So
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm okay with never seeing him again.
Yeah.
So
the kind of movie you watch and then you tell someone that maybe they need to go back to college or find an apprenticeship or something.
After four movies, and this is the last of them all.
Right.
And this is so god awful, you know.
So let me give you a little bit of background. I don't know much, but I can tell you, yeah, this movie was written and directed and starring Lorenzo Munoz Jr. He's under his pseudonym Uno Dos. His friend is J10. And I forget what his real name is, but I think this is the only movie that he is in. But yeah, he did do these other movies. He wrote another one called Paramedics, but he produced and directed, let's see here, Faces with a Z of Death 2000. He was the
Didn't you still get sued even by just changing one letter of
yeah,
it?
I don't know. But yeah, he did that. He was a producer and director for that. He also did one where he was a producer and director called The Ultimate Death Experience. And that actually has a 6.2. That's his highest rated film. So that might actually be decent. That was 1996. Then he did one called Barrio Boys with a Z again. That was in 2000. He directed that one. And then, he did the Paramedics. He was just the producer and writer of that one. And then finally, Hip Hop Locos, which, by the way, has a 1.1 as far as the star rating on the Internet Movie Database. That's really low. That's like subterranean low. And yeah, that is it. And that's 2001. And what's interesting, there's like two kind of time things going on here for me, because the movie itself, I mentioned this at on our intro, where I said it felt like that period of time when, you know, there was like this sort of mini craze for everybody running around pretending to be like this Mexican or Chicano or Latino gangster for a while. Do you remember the movie Colors that came out back in 1988?
Yeah, with Sean Penn or something.
Sean Penn, Robert Duvall, Maria Conchita Alonso, yeah. Dennis Hopper actually directed it.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, and everybody was running around. You know, all the gangways, they're all Holmes and Issa and all that. And that was like the time. That was
like, that seemed normal. Like, and that was done where it wasn't annoying. You know?
Right, but it feels like these guys loved that movie. It's just that instead of doing it back in 1988 when they were kids, they waited until 2001 when that craze was long, long, long gone and decided to do this. And it's just really weird. Now, the fun thing is this movie did get distribution. And guess who was that distributed it? Brain Damage. And as a matter of fact,
Pendulum Pictures, yeah.
Brain Damage, actually, when they were founded in 2001. So you got to imagine, when they were just coming out, they were probably looking for any content they could. And these guys were like, yo, Holmes, we got a movie right here. And they said, sure, we'll distribute it. And that's what happened. So there you go, Brain Damage. And they, you know, Brain Damage did a whole bunch of stuff from some of our folks. You know, they did Suburban Sasquatch, and your buddies who did the Party Bus, they did that. And
they did Funcicide.
Yeah, bunch of stuff. But they also did Hip Hop Locos. How about that?
They did Shadowhunters, which we reviewed, or I reviewed.
Yep. They're still around, too. I mean, you know, it's not the same company.
No, they're called Midnight Releasing now.
Midnight Releasing, right.
I'm friends with a guy because it's Darren Ramage. I guess that's where it gets Brain Damage from. Because his name's Darren Ramage, and bring, you know, sounds similar enough, I guess, or whatever. But he runs Midnight Releasing, and I think he's been cool with like sending me videos to like to review or whatever.
That's
like,
cool.
They like Indie Film Cafe, because even if we give a bad reviews, we're still talking about the movie.
Sure. And I mentioned it too. This is Adam Tooby. So folks can go out there and dig this movie up and watch it over and over and over and over and over again, like we sure Jen's going to do when she gets home. She's going to put it on autoplay, so it just plays over and over in the background.
It is like white noise.
Yeah, she's going to use it as ASMR.
Latino noise.
It's going to be the B-movie ASMR.
So bad. I even hesitate to call it a movie.
Well, you know what? I saw a couple reviews and they go, you know, they said this horror movie. They go, I don't even think I can call it a horror movie. And then the other, and then they go, I don't think I can call it a movie.
Well, it's interesting because in addition to the, you know, let's face it, banal story that really isn't much of a story, what makes it worse, what makes it really bad is the fact that for large and digestible chunks of this film, you can't see what the hell's going on. Mm. Not only is it poorly lit, but there's an awful lot of close-ups. I remember Jen was like, yes, let's keep looking up this guy's nostrils, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know, you would see the pox in their skin because this camera was so close. And then, you know, the lighting was bad. And then they would do these weird effects that would make things darker. Like you would see the negative image of that scene, which would make a dark scene even darker. Why? Mm-hmm. Why do you not want people to see this? I mean, okay, I understand why you don't want people to see this, but
I don't think it, like, I just don't think they cared, because I don't even think they thought they'd get a distribution for it.
I think they just didn't know what they were doing, and they should have by movie number four. I don't really know. I haven't seen any of their earlier films, so I'd like to just.
It'd be funny if his earlier films were the better, and this was like the worst one, and this was their last one.
Think about it this way. If you can remember Fungicide, and remember there were a couple of times where our beloved buddy Dave Waskovich showed the same thing. It would be like, rrr, 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 rrr. It would be like five or six times in a row. And he did that multiple times. And the only reason we figured he did that was because he found a new editing technique that he thought was cool. And he thought he'd have fun with it and just do it. I think that's what's going on here. I think somebody found different little weird effects that they could do. And they were just kind of playing with it, not really having a strategy as to how you utilize it for a film properly.
Yeah, I got the feeling they were trying to be artistic, and it just...
Okay, this is going to sound bad. This is going to sound bad.
Fartsy for, like, the whole movie. It don't work.
They're trying to be artistic, but they... No. Another word that's similar to artistic.
Cabbage?
Autistic. You know? Like, it just came off really terrible. Like, yeah. Very bad. Like, so, like, they really did not know what they were doing.
They put the ass in Asperger's. Is that what you're saying?
All right. Our show just got canceled. All right. We're done.
Yeah, no. I knew it was going to be bad when a couple, 10, 15 minutes in something, when we realized, when Jonathan and I realized, shit, this is it, huh? Okay.
Well, no,
I realized it was not going to get any better when all three of us, so it's not just like me that's completely zoning out, but look over at y'all two sitting on the couch, and then we were all having this conversation, and it was like, oh yeah, there's this movie.
We're not even really watching the movie after that. It almost felt like
Paul took a phone call, didn't pause the movie.
Got some food.
And like no one was like, oh, we need
made no difference.
And made no. No, you did not miss a damn thing.
Jen didn't watch the last 15 minutes, and I was telling her it didn't matter because nothing happened.
Yeah.
Well, I told you that yes, I would do this recording, but I am not watching what I previously watched.
Because you already did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you don't need to watch the
a little bit at the end. Little bit.
Well, it's funny because our friend Elizabeth, whom we met there at the show, she was too shy.
Your friend?
Yeah. She was too shy to talk on the podcast, which was fine. But she sat there and watched the last 15 minutes with us so that we could finish it. And she was just appalled and, you know, was like, that's what the... I said, you know, you could watch the first part if you want. She's like, no. Having seen the last 15 minutes, I think I've already seen the entire film. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. You have.
Pretty much. She was just like, really? Like, okay. And then and we didn't know what happened. I mean, there were things, but it just, you can't really see it and you just can't really hear it. And, you know, those are normal things that Paul, like, makes him fall asleep. Like, ankle biters had that issue.
Scenes. You know? Occasional scenes. Like, same thing with the Actium Maximus, which I know which drove you crazy. There were times there'd be scenes where you couldn't hear or you couldn't see anything. This wasn't just a scene. This was the whole film. The whole film was like this.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it was difficult too to try and listen to them talk because it was just so many homes and essays and shits. I mean, people complain about Valley Girls. Valley Girls, with their high level of likes, are so much easier to understand than listening to this. Like, I couldn't, they could have been discussing how to achieve world peace and have some grand plan that would actually work. And
the fact is, if your vocabulary doesn't go past 12 or 13 words, after a while, because it's such a talky film, it all becomes blah, 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 after a while. You know?
Oh, yeah, it becomes Actium Maximus. That was literally what they were saying. You know, so this was, I mean, might as well have been that, you know, like, because I couldn't understand anything the people were saying. There was one point where I didn't even realize they were in a fucking car because, like, it was so dark. And so you're just like, oh, they're killing the guy in the car. And I go, he's in a car?
Somebody talk about that first scene, that first strangling scene.
I think I just did. I think that literally was the only thing that happened. Oh, no. Tell it, Jen.
No, it just took forever for them to strangle the guy.
Which is actually how you really strangle a person. It takes forever. But you don't need to see that.
Movie magic. Let's use movie magic.
Yeah.
Oh, I listen to enough true crime podcasts that, yeah, I know it's a lot harder than it looks on TV and the movies, and it's absolutely so much more horrible. You need so much more strength, but movie magic.
On IMDb, none of the characters ever have like another movie that they do, none of the actors. Maybe this was a snuff film. Maybe they really did kill that guy, filmed it.
Have been a solid 10 minutes in that scene. And the entire time, the other guy is like, choke him, Holmes. Choke that fucker. Kill him. Holmes. Choke him. Choke that bitch. Choke him. Come on. Mm-hmm. Choke him, Holmes.
All right. We don't need to hold all 10 minutes. We're good. God.
Yeah.
We're good. Oh, man. It was rough. And I can't believe that. Like, I don't understand. Because obviously there was no script. There was just, like, let's shoot this scene, and then let's shoot this scene, and then let's shoot this scene.
Someone needs to introduce these gentlemen to the concept of editing. You don't have to show everything. Even David the Rock Nelson understands editing. He may not be very good at it. He may not be very good at it, and he may have to go from, you know, VHR to VHR and tape and cut that way, but at least he understands it.
No, he has a scene where some guy comes up and talks to him and he kept it in.
It's because he likes to keep it in. He likes to keep everything in there.
That's not editing.
He understands it though. There are cuts. I have seen cuts that make sense in his movies. There are no cuts in here other than, you know, they ran out of tape and so they had to stop the scene. That's how it felt like.
Hmm. You know? Maybe. I don't know. Honestly, yeah. I mean, do I think this guy should direct another movie? Fuck no. But with the advancements in technology and everything like that, you know, this was shot on probably mini DV, you know? So it looks really shitty, you know, period.
Oh, it does. It looks awful.
It wasn't shot on film. It wasn't shot on, you know, beta cam or anything like that. It was shot on fucking mini DV. And you're right, they probably have tapes. Those are the little teeny tiny tapes that you have, like mini tapes. And they probably ran out of that after, you know, saying
here's the other thing. Times. Apparently, Lorenzo Munoz Jr. is now a music producer. So he has a music production company. So either they just abandoned this form of entertainment, or he got so successful at it that he was able to utilize his money and turn it into his dream of becoming a hip hop mogul.
Let's go with the former.
So, but I have a question for you, Paul.
Okay.
Because you're the one who chose this. You're the one who felt the need to put this on the list. It's not horror. How is it supposed to be horror? I thought we were watching scary movies and monsters and shit like that. And shit. But
you're rapping.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I had hit mute. Yeah, it's nothing. Like, was the horror part is like actually watching the movie?
It's so meta. Like the movie itself is horror.
What is that movie? What is that that movie where if you watch the movie, you die? Is that what this
the
is?
The Ring?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, look.
Movie and you kill the person who showed it to you.
It's Indie Film Cafe. We don't always show horror. However, is this classified as horror? Like, this is a crime drama to me.
Yeah.
Crime,
yeah.
Drama, comedy kind of thing.
Musical.
Not by musical.
Choice. There's several musical, if you want to call them, interludes where they rap.
They rap, but it's like, I didn't even know they were rapping. Like, literally, he would talk, and then I would just be like, wait, did he rhymed. Like, oh, wow, was that a rap? Like...
Yeah. If Paul hadn't have said anything, I wouldn't have known that any of that was in it, because I just turned it off, tuned it out. Every time they talked.
You were on your phone a little bit. You're chatting with us a little bit. Like, it was.
Well, we're all chatting.
We're all chatting. Yeah,
see,
yeah.
If a movie is cleverly written, the dialogue will do two things at once. The dialogue will inform the viewer about what's going on, and it will show you insight into the character so that you understand what this person's doing and why. I didn't really get the sense of either one from the dialogue in this film. This movie showed me nothing about, well, first of all, it told me nothing about what was going to happen other than in the very basic terms. We're going to go kill someone, so they kill someone. That's about it. I mean, that you could say that in two words, and that's it. As far as revealing who these people are, it's like, all they did was showed me nothing. You're telling me that these are the flattest, most one-dimensional people ever, and you're underlining it by using this dialogue, which is also flat and unimaginative and useless? A job well done.
I think a lot of the one-dimensionalness comes from the improv acting that comes from these guys, because they obviously are not improv actors. They're not very good at it, but they're also very boring characters. Like, they don't have anything unique about
this. This can't be scripted. It can't be.
No.
Nobody sat there and write out Holmes 55,000 times.
If there is a script, if somebody's listening and there's a script, please, please send it to indiefilmcafe@gmail.com. We want to see it.
Seriously, I will buy it.
He will buy the script from you guys. You know, as long as you guys, as long as it's not too expensive.
I want you to bring it up on the writer's podcast that you do.
Yeah, hopefully Colleen and I will be back at that at some point. So if we can, well, I'll show her this movie. I'll say, watch it on Tubi.
Don't do that to anyone.
Yeah. Oh, I already suggested it to Jessa. She was like, oh, I need a movie to or a show.
Oh, God, no. Oh, you're mean. That is mean.
Unlike the rest of us, you know, people are going to see this and then they're going to turn it off in 10 seconds. They're going to be like,
right,
what the hell's this? And spit it out of their mouth like, you know, poison candy.
Oh, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'll see, at least Donald Farmer knows what he's fucking doing, you know?
I mean, the thing is, okay, I'm going to admit, I am not the biggest rap fan in the world. I think it's kind of a garbage genre, but, you know, there are the occasional groups that do come along or occasional artists that come along and elevate it and actually do some good stuff. I just think they're very few and very far between.
Like a Tribe Called Quest was good.
If,
you know,
if I were like the biggest fan and loved hip hop and rap and gangster stuff, I would be appalled by this. I would think that this is the, still the biggest piece of trash I'd ever seen.
He keeps using that word and it has his name in it. You know, he'd be appalled by it.
I was pretty appalled. Oh, dude, you have no idea. This had been on, you know, on my radar for a long time because it was in that Pendulum pack. Mm. And I would watch it.
How did you first hear about this?
I'd never heard about it until I bought it and it was on that pack, that movie pack. And I go through and I watched it and I was like, what the hell is this? And then I turn it off and spit it out. And then I try it again and I'd get a little further and I'd be like, wait, something has to happen here. And then I'd try it again and try it again. It took like 6 or 7 times before I finally watched it all the way to the end. And then finally wailed in despair when it dawned on me that no, nothing actually happens in this film. It's a movie about nothing, like Moody mentioned it at the show when we were watching it.
You know, it's funny because I could see Jen being asked to watch another Pendulum Pictures movie and she's going, nope, and walking away.
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, there are some fun ones there. They're usually pretty damn cheap and pretty damn independent. And, you know, a lot of them are pretty crappy. But this, no. This is a different dog altogether.
It's trash.
It's pretty trash though. Like you can't say this is a good movie.
No, nobody can. Madeline Deering cannot sit there and she loves everything. She's not going to love this. There's no way. John Ward is not going to sit there and say, well, it's so bad it became good. No. I defy you, John Ward.
He's really kicking himself for that too. Like he knows, like he really, you know, he killed you on Alien Beasts, you know, on that. It should have been a 10, you know, but he gave it a 5. Oh, well, you know. and it didn't even go back to being good. It came back to being like meh, I guess, you know, in that
thing. I wouldn't even grant it a meh.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. But
it Alien went Beasts, from this bad is, to being bleh.
This has been one of the worst movies you've shown us, for sure. Yeah. Like, they're... Because it's a video. It's not a movie. And like there's no real plot.
It felt almost like someone was assigned an art project in college. And one of a general class. So this isn't like the art students, a general class that anyone takes. And you have, oh, you need to do this art project on something you love, and these guys were like, oh, we love hip hop, we're gonna do this. That's what it felt like, this college art project, and you have to watch it and you're like, oh dear, it was so bad.
But again, it really has nothing to do with hip hop. It's just these two idiots who think they're hip hop stars who really just want to become street gangsters who just kill other street gangsters. And that's it. And they're such outlaws. Remember when we saw them and their car was, they were going 24 miles an hour.
Wow. They're breaking the law, man.
Yeah. Oh my God. What mavericks they are.
My favorite is still the, three to four minute scene of them knocking on a door.
Mm-hmm.
After one of them went and said, oh, they're not home.
All right.
In the car, and then they're like, oh, and they all go out and knock on the door for however many minutes.
Took forever.
Claim that no one is there, and then go back to the car.
Yep. And they're like, they're knocking on it, go, yo, Holmes, are you home? Are you home, Holmes?
Home is home, Holmes. Yeah, it reminded me of like scenes in Birdemic where you get to see them park the car and you watch the entire scene where they're parking the car. So yeah. Unnecessary. It's like, why are we watching this? How is this furthering the narrative? What narrative? There is no narrative. It doesn't really matter.
I would say they walked better than the Mr. Wooding guy from,
that's true,
you know, but you don't really see them walk much. You don't see them, they're just in the camera talking it's to each other.
It's possible because they couldn't see a damn thing. It's who knows what they did. It was really difficult to tell.
Mm-hmm. And the sound was atrocious. Sounds awful. You could barely hear what they were saying some of the time. And there was no subtitles for Pendulum Pictures doesn't have subtitles. I mean, so we have no idea.
Think about it this way. Think about if you had gone to see a movie about hip hop gangsters in the theater, but you wore a spittoon over your head the entire time. That's what this movie, watching this movie, is like.
Well, I mean, in those most cases, even that would be better than this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would still enjoy that because at least there would be nice visuals generally.
I mean, let's hope the spittoon is empty. But even if it wasn't, it'd still be better than
what I was about to say. That really doesn't change the outcome.
My goodness. So, yeah. But I mean, what about those moments where they do actually rap or there is music? What did you guys think about that?
I didn't know they rapped until y'all told me. So,
yeah, well, when we noticed that they were rhyming, then I was that like, was it. Oh, that's the rapping. So it would be like, I walked down the street and the street was very beat. And I'm like, wait,
who are they talking to? Are they talking to us now all of a sudden? Are they breaking the fourth wall? And by doing it, showing off their rapping
Well, they did this skills? From the very beginning. The very beginning, the first scene is them talking to the camera. About Yo Holmes, I'm going to go and do this. Yo Holmes, I'm going to do that. But they're just like looking at the camera, not even looking at each other.
We are the Holmes in that case?
Maybe. But then, you know, well, actually, no, we aren't. Because he's talking to the guy, but the guy's next to him while they're both staring at the camera. And apparently that guy is the, you know, the best friend.
He's like the sidekick.
The sidekick.
And he's next to him the entire time. It's just these two fucknuts. And that's it. And the occasional idiots that they kill. That's really what the movie should have been called. Two fuck nuts and the occasional idiots that they kill. That's more truth than advertising, if you ask me.
So it's so funny because the people that are listed in the credits for like characters, carjack victim, the weed dealer, cocaine dealer number two, studio cocaine dealer.
So there are at least three cocaine dealers that they kill.
Shotgun gangster. I don't know who any of these are. Like, I carjack person, I think happened in the very, like when they got out of the talking to themselves in the beginning of the movie or whatever. Then they went to the next scene. I was like, oh God, thank you. Go to the next scene. And there's some guy by his car and they just go and knock him out or something. Or was the carjack guy victim the guy in the car who got strangled? I don't know.
I don't know, but here's an extremely scary thought. There may be people out there who saw this movie and connect with it, that this is their life, this is a real thing, that all this is all they do is they blend one nefarious scheme after another without knowing anybody's names, without, you know, having any other bits of reality. There may be people who live like that. Can you imagine how horrible?
Are you saying like they watched it? Because like nobody would get past the first 5 minutes.
Well, I mean people who actually do live like this, who are these gangster type people. And that's all they do is go from one screwed up drug deal to the next. And that's their life. Horrible. That's their life. That's like hell. That is a vision of hell. There's no winning in this.
I don't think there are people like that. Like I don't necessarily like homeless people, you know, who have no, you know. Like,
so they're less homes.
Yeah, they're homeless people, you know.
Oh no, we lost Jen.
What happened?
She's homeless.
She just wrote to me. She said the movie is so bad it even destroyed the Zoom call.
Oh dear.
I don't know. Yeah, you can hear me fine.
Yeah, it's
oh my goodness.
It's pretty damn bad. Yeah.
I hope we can get her back because we need to at least do the stinkometer in a little bit.
Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, I found Bosha Boys. Barrio Boys is on Amazon Prime. It's also on VHS on
Amazon.
Is that
the right one? Because there's two Barrio Boys.
Oh, yeah. It's the one with the Z, and it's got Lorenzo Munoz Jr., actor and director. It's on VHS tape for $50.
What happened, Jen?
The movie killed my internet there for a minute. I don't know. I sat there and y'all were like in mid-conversation. I'm waiting and then...
Well, you can
see
talk?
What your movie did, Paul?
Oh, not my movie. Not my movie.
No, well,
Oh, Lord. She's like, I just want to get this podcast over so I can continue drinking my eggnog in peace.
Did you notice there was not a single female character or person in this film?
Well, there may have been. We just couldn't see them.
True.
Because remember the one guy that got strangled, we were discussing whether he was an African-American guy or not. But you can't tell. You can't tell what anyone looks like, except for their noses and their lips and their chins.
Did you not like the extreme close-up camera cinematography?
It reminded me of when everything was moving to digital and 4K, and the makeup artist on like the news hadn't caught up with that. So the makeup looked really bad because you could see everything so much clearer.
You could see your pores and
nostril cam.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sure when they re-release this on Blu-ray, everything will look so much better.
Oh no, 4K, man. It's going to go to 4K and then it's going to look so fucking pretty. Yeah.
Dude, there aren't enough K's in the world to make this movie look good.
KKK maybe?
Yeah. Too soon, too soon.
I'm telling you, this is going to be canceled. We're done. You know, we broke the internet, baby.
There you go. It's out there, man. You don't believe us. Go watch this movie. I'm dying to hear somebody tell me what a great film this is. Somebody out there.
If somebody did, I would cry.
I would be very concerned for the person who said that they liked this movie.
See,
who said that they enjoyed watching this movie.
Tommy Wiseau is sitting back there going, uh-huh. You thought I was a bad film. You thought me bad filmmaker.
You haven't seen Hip Hop Locals.
Jamaican?
That's the voice that came out.
Yeah.
The voice that came out.
Yeah. Oh man. But I actually did Tommy, like my own version of Tommy's voice, and my to Lila and Bobby. Lila was one of my former roommates, and Bobby was her boyfriend at the time. And he knew exactly who I was talking about and everything. But then she got really offended and thought like I was like making fun of this guy's like bad accent or whatever. And I'm like, oh no, that's like literally what he sounds like. Like I'm not making fun of it, but that's just, I'm just doing my impression of it. Mm-hmm. It's just so bad. His accent is not, good at all.
Well, you got to figure this is the kind of film that most everyone should see who's making a movie as a way to sort of not make a film. This is how you ruin a film. You know, if you were going to make a film about young up and coming gangsters who want to be, want to establish their street cred and want to do, yeah, there are ways you can do that. There are successful movies that have done that. It's just, they knew what they were doing and these guys kind of don't. And it's sad because again, this is their fourth film. So I'm very curious as to what these other films are like, because they didn't really learn much on this. The only other thing I can think of is that they had some kind of weird experimental thing going on, kind of like the Zen filmmaking thing that we've seen with the, Scott Shaw and Donald G. Jackson.
But even Scott Shaw and Donald G. Jackson have a story.
Sure.
There's some kind of story there. They've kind of figured that out. Like their stuff, it seems like is improv. Like we've heard we've heard from Joe Estevez himself that, like, you know, that Donald will just call him up and say, hey, I'm shooting a movie today. You want to come and be in it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's wonderful. But
their vision is that they are not confined by the bounds of a script.
Right.
And it's an interesting way of looking at it because, sure, the script gives you, you know, structure, but at the same time, it also is a cage in that if you have a good enough actors that you trust and who understand the characters, they are fully able and hopefully are able to do things that are not in the script and can kind of go beyond it, and you allow them to do that. And I totally get that. But that is not the direction I'm seeing in this film. You know, this is more like, I don't really know what to do other than the blab the same thing for 15 straight minutes. Let's film it.
And then we'll move on to another place where you can blab for another 15 minutes and just keep going like that.
In theory, I remember you mentioned that there were several apartments. I think they were the same one.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, but remember the one, there was one below, right, where they would knock on the door and everything. There was one up at the top of the stairs. So there's at least two apartments.
Unless it's the same apartment with two different entrances.
I don't think so. Like, I think it was two different apartments. I'm going to give them that. At least that.
In the same building, though.
What?
In the same building.
Probably. They probably had a neighbor and they're like, hey, you know, can we knock on your door for like 15 minutes?
And just don't shoot us, please.
Just don't come out and ruin my shot, man. Because I gotta keep saying that you're not here.
One point, they do get in the vehicles and drive someplace, and I was trying for the life of me to pick up some kind of clue as to where this was shot, and I couldn't come up with anything because you really couldn't see anything. But I do remember seeing movement. I remember seeing street lights, and I remember seeing a stoplight. So there was actual motion. And a scene did change. I swear to you, it did happen. It's just
at some point a scene did change.
And they did have to film that one scene where they were fighting outside the car.
Mm-hmm.
They did that one shot, and then they repeated it like five times or went backwards. They did crazy shit.
Yeah, and it also begs the question as to why. If they want to be like rap, hop, hip hop guy, why don't they just write music and do it? Isn't that sort of the traditional way you become artist, is to actually create stuff and then work on it and then get better and then create an audience? And, you know, doesn't that seem
work?
Doesn't that just seem like the most obvious thing that you could do? Why would you do this? Unless you want to be a criminal and go to jail or get killed.
All right, so he lives in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Arizona, yeah, he's in Arizona.
So I'm wondering if that's either there or Los Angeles is where.
What is going on in Arizona? Scarlett Fry lives there. He does a bunch of weird movies there. We've seen some of his weird movies. And something in the water in Arizona. I don't know what's going on.
So, yeah, you must have found his Twitter, just like our ex, did. And so he's an independent horror filmmaker. He says he's a music producer, just because you say you're a music producer and have put your own music on mp3.com does not necessarily make you a music producer. I don't know. But his website is audiokill.com. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, but it says opening soon. So is this new or is this?
You'll be pleased to know, Mr. Moody, that if you go onto eBay, you can see the Panic Pictures VHS Hip Hop Locos VHS tape is now for sale for $49.95.
Which one?
Hip Hop Locos.
Why would anybody want it for $50? I don't know.
Yep. And here's what it says on the back. You know, we sometimes read the back of the box. So I'm going to read you the back of the box here. Oh. It says, a gangsta rap song brought to life. on the and this is going to give you far more details than I even knew just by watching the film, but this is what it says. On the evening of February 20th, 2001, two Latino rappers commit a heinous crime spree and filmed everything they did on a digital video camera. They had a plan to rob drug dealers for their cocaine, sell it, and use the money to record a hip-hop album rapping about their crimes. This footage was then taken directly from their hidden camera, along with other footage obtained from various surveillance cameras. This is what actually occurred on that shocking evening. So, Moody, this was a found footage movie.
Yep, I was just about to say, it sounded like they're trying to be a found footage, you know, film like Blair Witch, you know. And this is a hip-hop witch.
Elizabeth brought out a good point. And, we told her that she could write us notes and give us stuff. But she said there was some parts that looked like security cameras. And I was like, maybe. I mean, I can understand that because it looked like you were seeing things from the point of view that you shouldn't, unless it was some other like omniscient, you know, camera was filming it. But now I get it. So that is actually what they were trying to do. This is a found footage crime spree, you know, Californication or whatever it was called.
Well, I mean, and that would be a great idea for a movie, right? You know, like Natural Born Killers on, you know, crack.
Natural Born Gangsters.
Natural Born Gangsters. That should have been the title. And but this movie was not that. Like, this movie was just,
because other stuff happened in Natural Born Killers.
Well, and Blair Witch. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Blair Witch. I think Blair Witch is overrated, and I find it to be kind of boring. But I still will prefer that over this any day, because at least with them, there's a story, there's characters, there's plot, there's, you know, everything, you know, it's more interesting. I mean, I just would prefer a better ending, but, you know, that's me, you know. But the rest of it, they really tried. This, they didn't try. I mean, they didn't do anything.
Right. When, I forget, when was Blair Witch?
1999.
All right. So you could say then that Blair Witch influenced this then.
Maybe. I mean, the Blair Witch was the second or third found footage movie. There was a couple other ones, I think, before Blair Witch.
Right.
But Blair Witch was the most successful one.
Yeah, it brought it out to like everybody so that people understood that this was a genre thing. You know, right. It established it.
So, and then people started doing it for so long that it became kind of like there's so many on the market kind of like And this wasn't marketed as a found footage film, which if they had marketed this as a found footage film, I could see it probably doing better in a way, because people would actually like seek it out, you know, and everything. But
well, there are clever ways you could do that. I mean, you could edit this in such a way that you could say that this was a part of a police investigation, that you're trying to figure out what happened, that they did their crime spree. There's a bunch of people killed.
Well, they found themselves like the video
killed, and they're trying to piece it all together by putting this story together.
It actually does make sense as being a found footage film more so than it should, but it's basically the beginning of the movie. It shows it's in order. Like you said before, like it feels like they just ran out of tape and stuff like that. It feels like it's shot in order of what they did and how they did it next and everything.
Right.
And so maybe that's, and it doesn't really, it's them with just with the video camera, like, you know, just pointing at themselves. So like, it does feel like one.
I'll give them
that credit, but like, that's it. Like that's the credit they're getting. The only credit they're really getting for me.
I hear you. Well, I guess it's right about that time, unless you guys have other things you want to talk about.
Jen's like, nope.
Nothing to say about it. It's like nothing happened.
You know, we got to tell you the ending.
Moody, tell Jen what happens.
I don't even really know exactly, but I know at the end they kill some other person that we don't. And we thought it was the director because he was very Latino looking, But he was just another guy. So that's just Latino looking, you know. These other guys, and you now telling me that Uno Dos is the director just makes me go, oh, okay. You know, like, yeah. And it makes sense for a found footage film to have the director, you know, that's also the cameraman and also the editor and also everything.
Writer.
Else. Right. I don't think writer should be listed at all in this film.
Creative genius. Let's put it that way.
All right. I think it really is time to just end it.
So, yes, time to give our scores on the stinkometer by which we get our three reviewers. We score the movies from a 1 to 10, by which the lower the score, the better the film is. The more stinkier the movie is, the higher the score. And if you're feeling subtle, you can give it a half step, a 4.5, 5.5, you know, 1.5. I'm thinking that's kind of how these guys are going to rate this movie. And then we take our three scores and then we total it up and then we see where on the ladder of stink this particular movie falls. If it gets a 30, then it goes all the way up to stinky heaven. And for a long time there were only 30s, and then we finally scored our first 10 plus, and then we ended up having a second 10 plus. And to me, that is kind of where I was at, was where will this movie fall?
Is it going to be a 10? Does everybody have to give it a 10 plus for it to be a 30 plus?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Well, how does that work, though? Then if one person gives it a 10 plus, it's a 30 plus?
We'll have to see. We'll have to see if that conundrum actually presents itself.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Jen.
Who would like to score this first?
Do we really need to ask?
I don't know. Really,
question? I mean, is there any...
He just walked at you.
Okay.
Sorry, I brought my cock out. It's plastic.
All right, Paul, stop that. All right. Now, let Jen do her thing.
Oh, this is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Wow.
So you would say it's a plus, right?
Yeah. How many pluses can I add to it? Yeah. It's like, actually, I said before I left, it's that scene in Christmas Story where he's having the dream and the teacher's like, hey, plus, there you go. plus.
Wow. And this is your second 10 plus.
Yeah, your first one was Miss Werewolf, but that ended with you yelling at Paul, saying this was the worst movie ever.
Worst movie ever.
It was so bad, but...
But this is worse.
I feel like this is worse. And part of it is because I didn't even realize there was a story. I didn't know there was rap, hip, whatever in it. Music. With a big post in it until you told me. I didn't... That's bad.
Well, I think there were like three instances. You sat through two of them and just never registered with you, but you didn't get the last one.
Oh, darn.
It didn't matter. It didn't feel any different than the other two. They were almost identical, if you ask me. If you were to, you know, electrocute me, I would say, yes, it's the same. I couldn't tell you the difference, but, you know.
If they give you a lie detector test,
I'm going to have to mirror just Jen. This is a 10 plus. This is really bad. And the thing that I was talking with Moody about this earlier before we came on, I said, you know, the biggest crime, in my opinion, with Miss Werewolf, even though it was a 10 plus, there was still lots of weird, wacky, kind of fun shit happening to keep you interested.
It was Hillary Clinton. He got Hillary Clinton in the movie.
The problem was it was over 2.5 hours long. It was like 2 hours and 41 minutes. That was the most punishing aspect of that film, in my opinion.
You didn't even know it was 2.5 hours long.
I mean, I knew it was longer than that, but still, that's its worst sin. This movie is the opposite. It's only 1 hour and 11 minutes long, so it's mercifully short. However,
Not short enough.
It's
5 minutes, and that'll be fine.
Oh my God! All hope is drained from you. In Miss Werewolf, there's the hope that something weird and crazy is going to happen. There's no hope in this movie. It's a hopeless film. It's where hope goes to die. Abandon all hope, ye who enter.
Yeah.
All right, Lorenzo Muniz Jr., you know, sorry, but like, I guess you're the gauntlet's been thrown down and you are the winner, you know, of this terrible movie thing. I will agree, 10 plus. I think this, I've seen Shark Exorcist, I've seen Miss Werewolf. I'd rather watch both those movies back to back again before watching this one.
And know? I think, like, Jen, you hit it right on the head. This is the worst one we've done so far.
Which is funny because you don't usually put like the worst one in the middle, you know, of our series. But, you know, this is the season. It's, you know, it's one of the worst. So
it's the coal in your stocking. The coal in your stocking.
Is Paul, does that mean Paul's going to find us an even worse movie for the final finale of this year? I don't know. Last year you gave us Sins of the Flesh of Poison.
You already know what we're doing for our season 7 finale.
I know, but I've never seen it, so I don't know. I can't tell you. I could tell you that almost anything I could probably figure out might be better than this movie.
It may not be professional, so to speak, but I can guarantee you it's a lot more fun than this.
That's the thing. Like, at least fun. This movie had no fun.
Oh, God, no. This was the anti-fun movie. This movie sucks fun out of your body so that when you go to have fun, you're like, I'm empty. I don't have any fun in me. That movie sucked my fun out. It's a fun vampire. It's a fun sucker. It's a fun pyre. Anthony Munoz Jr. or Lorenzo Munoz Jr., you are a fun pyre.
Well,
somebody put a hip-hop stake in him.
He's done. You know,
the movie broke Paul.
It just baffles me that Paul found this and didn't find. I thought somebody told him about it, but no, he found this thing and decided to watch it all.
It took 7 or 8 tries.
I know, but I still would have. I don't have the patience or whatever that you do.
Well, you know, it's just funny. It's like, remember I watched that one pack, it had like 3 or 4 movies on there, and I'm just going by the titles and I'm like, yeah, El Chupacabra versus the Alamo with dude from Chips, what's his name, Eric Estrada. That's got stinky fun written all over it, right? And I watch it, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty bad. What is this? Blood Predator. Holy shit, that is like an atom bomb of stink that I had never heard of, was not expecting, and it just blew El Chupacabra versus the Alamo out of the water as far as
we still haven't done El Chupacabra versus the Alamo. Maybe we'll will someday. We'll get to it. You know, even if it's not, you know, nearly as bad as any of these. I mean, remember the season 1 where we had only 130? And that was freaking Twist, or no, but it was the Faithful Findings.
We had a bunch of ones that came close.
Close, like Thanksgiving, I think, got close and stuff like that. But, you know, this was so, and Paul all of a sudden, he was like, oh, I want to do more. Like once he saw the look on Jen's face doing Faithful Findings, he was like, I want to do more 30s just to get that.
I just
that
remember
look
you guys moaning and groaning over Roller Gator. I'm like, man, if you guys can't get past Roller Gator.
I was listening
Gator,
to our podcast. Oh, we did not moan and groan. We were having a fun time with it. I think we moaned and groaned more to Born of the Blood Llama and stuff like that. Or and Jen groaned more at Bigfoot Wars and, you know.
Oh, your movie,
the
one with the sex scene that went on forever.
Oh, Ski Wolf, yeah. Mm-hmm. So things like
hey,
that.
There was no sex scene in this, right?
There may have been. We just couldn't see it.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to have one, you don't see it. There you go. At least we didn't skeeze Jen out this time, right?
We just bored her more than anything. You know, she couldn't see anything or hear anything.
Well, there you go. What's worse, being offended or being bored to death?
You know, it's funny. Paul has said that Yankee Doodle Dandy will be the movie that gets put into hell with him for he has to watch for eternity. This movie would be the thing that goes into eternity for me, you know, after watch this on repeat. Thanks, Satan. You know, I don't want to be in that, you know.
I think even Satan would be like, yeah, no, I'm not going there.
Even Satan's like, you know what? I'm going to be nice to you. No hip hop locos. You're fine. You know, I'll just give you Miss Werewolf. And I'm like, Miss Werewolf, I could watch that for eternity because it's dumb as shit. And I just have to just stare at it and just go, oh. But this movie would just, oh my God, I try to fall asleep and they do the Clockwork Orange eyes on me, you know, where I couldn't, I like, you know, they keep it open. So it'd be terrible. I would not like that.
Can you imagine if you were tasked with writing down all the dialogue? How would you get through that? That's
no. You can't. Because you
have to. You'd have to pay attention to everything they said and write it down.
Even a stenographer would say, "Nope, I'm done. Like I can't." After the 20th Holmes, they'll be like, "I'm out."
I know, and that'd be 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about this would be a drinking
game.
You'd be dead. You know? There's no way. Well, how many Holmes you have to listen to, and just saying Holmes is fine if you say it.
If you're in a Sherlock Holmes movie, sure.
But if you say it sporadically throughout, you know, or whatever, but not every 2 seconds. Right. I don't need to hear that.
It's a caricature. Surely there are people in the barrio who don't talk like this. They just don't. This is like somebody who doesn't understand and thinks that this is well people talk. They don't. They really don't.
They do not.
I don't believe it. Holmes and shit.
Mm-mm. They do not talk like
ridiculous.
This.
Ridiculous.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
I would say that Jen should change her tune and say, "This is the worst movie ever." I think that's the case.
No. Don't tempt me into finding worse stuff.
Well, you don't have to. You do that on your own.
It's not necessary. Don't show me any more bad stuff.
The paint drying movie. That's like 9 hours of paint drying.
There's literally a movie where you watch paint dry.
I swear to God, it exists.
Yeah. And was it on Tubi or something?
It's somewhere, I forget. But yeah, that's a troll movie. That was created for the simple reason that the guy hates the idea in England that you have to show all your movies to a censor board to make sure that you're not breaking any laws. And he was so pissed off about it. He said, "Okay, you're gonna watch 9 hours of paint drying. Fuck you."
I wonder if they actually watched all 9 hours or not.
The camera's at the wall. And it doesn't move for 9 hours. I'm like, yeah, we kind of saw that.
That was this movie, except we couldn't see it. Shit. We couldn't even see it. We couldn't even see the paint dryer because, you know, whatever. So just at least the paint dryer person had some talent.
Because you can do some weird things with cinema doesn't mean that you should do such weird things with cinema.
Nope.
All right, like I said, the best part about this is knowing that you never have to experience anything like this
and ever, everybody listening
ever again.
You just listen to us talk about it, like you don't need to watch it. Please don't. This is one of the first times we'll actually tell you don't need to watch the movie, you know, and we won't promote watching the movie. If you watch the movie, understand you need to be loaded. And I don't drink, so I can't join you on that. But other people, if you want to actually have a good time with this movie, you have to be drunk or high to actually
load up on eggnog.
And even then, I think you get bored and turn it off because, you know.
Yeah. See, I'm going to disagree with you there, Mr. Movie. I think everybody who makes a movie needs to see this because I think it is extremely educational. You know, because this way, hey, especially if you've got doubts, a lot of self-doubts, you're going to look at that and say, man, I didn't do that.
At least I didn't make Hip Hop Locos.
There you go. There you go.
You know what? That's what they say, you know, at Disney. They say, at least we didn't make Hip Hop Locos. And then people go, okay, you're right. The Marvels wasn't that bad.
You know, and 99.9999% of the time, I'm usually the guy saying, you know what? These guys still made a movie. They went through everything. They created something out of nothing. I don't care in this case. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because you can make something doesn't mean you should. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that 100%. So sorry, Lorenzo. I'm glad this was your last movie. Please don't torture us with another one. Don't give us Hip Hop Locos 2. No. We don't want
the return
of Uno's Dos.
Not.
Please, no. Challenge accepted.
Are you going to contact our director?
No, buddy, I don't want to talk to the dude.
Interview him on our spot.
No. I don't want to know how he made this movie, because I really don't want to know that it's a snuff film for real. You know, I don't want to know that information.
Meanwhile, Joel Weinkoop is back in our audience and saying, "Hey, man, you talk shit about my film."
We liked Lost Faith. We gave that a better review. We did not give that a 30, you know.
We still ticked him off.
No, but I mean, he should look at this movie and go, "Well, at least I didn't make Hip Hop Locos."
That's going to be tattooed on my forehead.
At least you didn't make Hip Hop Locos.
There you go. It's to be a t-shirt.
A face tat.
Make that t-shirt for you guys so that you can all proudly wear it.
Hey.
All right.
You can wear it with your Neil Breen shirt.
See, Jen's okay with you giving her a Puma Man mug, but anything with this movie or Miss Werewolf or...
I love that Puma Man mug. I got to get one for myself. It is so adorable.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't order two. I'm surprised. No,
at some point I will, but my favorite is the little Donald Pleasance head. I don't. Mm-hmm.
What does it say? I love Puma Man or something?
Yeah, it's adorable.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, there you go. So, well, everybody, I think that's it. We've talked enough about this fucker, this motherfucker.
And just shit. So you guys understand, we will go there. We talk about doing the movies that Mystery Science Theater and Riff Tracks refuse to do.
Or even Red Letter Media. They've never tackled this movie. And I don't think they will. I don't think they'd even sit down and watch the whole damn thing of this. We will do it so you don't have to.
We go there. Some of us kicking and screaming, perhaps, but we still go there.
Some of us get tricked into it.
Yeah, Jen didn't kick and scream. She just played on her phone and talked to us, the whole
time. Yeah, but I
like that you guys try and make it sound like I was the one who was just sitting there the entire time with my face on my phone.
I did not have my phone at all.
I was talking to y'all. We were all chatting during this time in these raps or whatever.
These raps that you didn't
I'm just
know
glad I wasn't close enough to get punched in the shoulder, because I could feel that was coming.
Well, yeah, but I think she's starting to get used to you screwing her over like this. So she's just
Come on, I gave her some good films too. Puma Man was fun. Wonton Ton was fun,
Wonton Ton was not necessarily, that scared Joe Turek, because that dog went into the oven, tried to commit suicide. So he was not happy with that. But no, this was much worse than any of those other things. Anything else. Die Hard Dracula was worse than that.
It's a rotten tooth, and we pulled it, and now we never have to worry about it. It's out.
All of it.
Yep. Done. Yep.
So we want to say...
It's all up downhill from here. Let's put it that way.
Downhill?
Easy sledding. You've done the rough parts.
I don't know, man. I don't want to go downhill. Let's not go any downhill hillier.
Yeah, and I don't trust you, so.
Yeah, I think Paul's saying this to confuse us so that he can get
Honestly, she's been saying that since season one, so I don't know that there was any reclamation going to happen anyway.
She doesn't trust you from the very minute you're like, "Hey, come on over and watch a movie with us." And then you get over and, by the way, we're doing a podcast too.
We have brought you on to some movies where they are good movies. Maybe we can get you on a few more of those, because maybe it'll take the sting out of this one.
No.
No, she'll never forgive you for this one. So, yeah. I'm just glad she came back to do the thing, and we didn't have to find some other, and I didn't have to watch it again. That's all I cared about.
No, this movie's never being watched again. No.
And it's funny. I was just telling Moody, you know, I sent him the copy that we did, or the podcast that we did for Sins of the Fleshapoids. And I was like, Jet got really, really into this. She had a lot of really good points, and she was really animated and was talking and making all kinds of comments. And Moody's like, yeah, I don't think she's going to say the same or do the same thing for this movie.
I did say that. Because I was like, this is a different thing. There was no... And I was pointing out to him that at least Sins of the Fleshapoids had, like, you know, some kind of message or, you know, statement that they were making, because they were an underground film that were really trying to be artsy. This is a movie that didn't try to be artsy, might have came off that way a little bit because they just don't know what the fuck they're doing. You know, this was trying to be a real good gangster movie. You know, Boys in the Hood, that kind of thing. And
mixed
and
with Blair Witch, in my opinion.
Mixed with Blair Witch, the Boys in the Witch. I don't know. Boys
but, Witch in the Hood. There you go, man. That's a movie. Witch in the Hood. Come on.
Didn't we already watch that movie? I don't know. We watched The Wake the Witch, you know.
Yes, yes, we did.
That was pretty bad, too, but not nearly as bad nothing as this.
Like that.
This,
that was this just amateur bad.
Every other movie out of the water.
Yeah, that was just amateur bad. This is another level.
This is worse than amateur. Like, there's amateur, then there's whoosh.
This is, you know, fourth movie in, should have known a lot better.
I mean, I'm scared about the other movies, like, period.
I'm going to find them. You know I'm fine.
I know you are.
At least
but
one
Jen's
of them.
But Jen's not going to watch them.
Nope. No. Jen has soldiered through. She's done her time.
She's let go. She's, you know, free from Lorenzo.
See, you're free. I'm still stuck in this prison, and so is Moody.
You're not stuck. You voluntarily.
I know. You can like leave at any time. You're like a prisoner who's like fell in love with a captor. You're like.
Well, I'm just curious. How bad can a movie get? Doesn't it? Curious, isn't it? From an
isn't that called Stockholm syndrome? You have Stockholm syndrome for your bad movies, you know, and shit.
There's got to be a movie that is the worst. There has to be. So
I mean,
it's
this
out
is
there.
It. I mean,
I'm going to find it.
There can't be anything worse than this. Like even they Geek Maggot Bingo was better than this movie. Neil Breen. Is better than this movie.
Every time you think you've reached the bottom of hell, a new level opens up. I'm telling you.
There can't be. No.
This has been my life, man. Every time I think I found the worst movie, I find one worse.
See, Jen, when he doesn't can't get you on, he'll get me on to do those. So, you know, I'm stuck no matter what. You know, you left us early enough where you're like, you know, I you could tell where this was going, I think. So you're smart enough. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for checking this out. And if you have seen Hip Hop Locos, like actually watched it, and it is on Tubi, we do not recommend it. But if you want to torture yourself.
I think you should. Bring the whole family.
Oh, no.
Family adventure.
Oh Lord, family night.
If you hate your family.
Exactly.
If you hate your family, make it a family night. Torture them. Make sure that they have to watch it. Stay and watch the whole.
If you're trying to break up with a significant other and you have no idea how to do it, this is the way.
Hip Hop Locos is your way. There you go. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Join us next week. For a brand new episode. Until then, everybody, have a good one.
Bye. And shit. Okay, let's see. Can you guys hear?
It's got you right there.
What about you guys?
I'm right over here.
Louder than that, please.
I know.
Moody.
I'm just
hello. Are you recording right now?
You're not going to be what?
All munchy.
Munchy?
Munchy.
Okay. Well, we are back.